Hey everyone, this is John.
Warriors.
Yeah, this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the mini show for the month of May 2018.
Yeah. You seemed unsure about that.
I was unsure.
I think, it's a May?
And this is anything goes. Any random game you want to talk about, well, it's open for business.
What about can we talk about Pokemon?
We can talk about Pokemon if you want.
Oh.
Sure.
I was having you be like, no, we have a podcast for that.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of N64 games. Can we talk about this?
If you must.
No, I'm just kidding.
I do have a Super Nintendo game.
I've been playing a lot of Skyrim. Can we...
No!
Yeah.
No! No, we cannot.
Are you sure? Can we talk about Red Sox relievers?
We can.
Yeah, great.
And actually, speaking of which, I do have one quick follow-up that I wanted to do, because you mentioned N64 game, retro games. We usually don't talk about retro games, but I did want to just mention briefly that I finished Donkey Kong Country 3, which is a Super Nintendo game. It is a game we've talked about on the Super Nintendo show about 6 months back now, and I finally got to the credits. I do like how the end levels of this game, like the last dozen or so levels, really mixes up some different mechanics, some different like stage hazard stuff. There's a level that has like these zip line conveyor belt things, which is kind of a take on an auto-scrolling minecart level. There are levels, there's this level that has ghost barrels, so it's like a barrel blast level, but the barrels will disappear and then reappear, it'll phase in. I like the ghost ropes in Donkey Kong Country 2.
Okay.
There's a level where you're swimming. Remember, like, the stop-go levels in Donkey Kong Country? Like, you have to hit the switch, and the enemies will freeze, and then you have a certain amount of time to hit the next switch.
Oh, like there's, like, the clay guys.
Yeah.
That would, yeah.
There's a similar concept to that toward the end of the game, except you're swimming, and the screen will go dark, and you have to hit, like, this little lamp fish in order to light it back up. And there's, of course, like, stage hazards and spikes and shit under the water. And levels where there's like lightning that'll come down, like it'll flash in the position it's going to come down, and you have to like make sure you're not standing there, you're zapped by lightning. So, you know, they had a bunch of different ideas. Oh, there's a level, a really annoying level actually, where you're swimming in this purple sludge and it inverts your controls. So, if you want to move to the right, you have to press left on the D-pad, and vice versa, which is really trippy when you have to actually execute. But I think that this game is probably like the least regarded game in the Donkey Kong Country series, but I don't think that means it's a bad game at all. I had a good time with it. Some of the boss fights were a little bit silly. Like they got pretty creative with their boss fights as well. When there's one where you have to fight the boss as a little elephant animal buddy, and you have to basically absorb water with your trunk and then shoot it, so it kind of turns into this like little shooter, but it's also it's a little bit like the skeleton in Contra 3, where there's, like, a pattern where you have to move around the stage in a pattern.
Oh, okay. So it's just like it's like a big thing of death, but just a little tiny space where you're okay, and you just have to constantly stay in that size.
Yeah, rotate around the stage.
The skeleton, you're talking about the robots.
The robotic skeletons.
Well, both, yeah.
You
fight the robots, and then you fight the skeleton right after you kill them.
Hmm. That's another big robot.
No, it's a skeleton.
Robot.
It's a skeleton robot. Whatever. What are robots
if not
skeletons?
It begs the question, did it have flesh before, you think? Maybe it was just long-term exposure of just
the vacuum of space.
Of the vacuum of space just destroyed all its actual...
That's what I assumed.
You know, flesh and sinew and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Or maybe it's like some sort of weird alien where the bones are on the outside. It's like an exoskeleton.
That very well may be the case.
But anyway, there's also a boss fight in Donkey Kong Country 3 where you get into this snowball fight, and it's like a behind-the-back camera position, and you just kind of press a button to pick up a snowball and fling it at this polar bear thing that's throwing snowballs back at you.
But you'd think it would have an advantage at that, being that it is a bear from the snow and you are a donkey from Kong.
And I did exploit save states there, because like some of the boss fights, like they don't actually require you to do any actual platforming, so it's not really a test of your skill, so I didn't care if I was doing well on them or not. So like, okay, I scored a hit, save state. And, oh, I got hit, okay, load the save state. But the final boss fight was actually kind of fun, because that did require you to do some platforming. It actually asked you to use mechanics they've been teaching you throughout the game, so you had to platform around and grapple on some little chains that were above its head. You actually had to pick up barrels and throw the barrels at it, so the final boss fight was pretty fun. It was kind of the highlight fight of the game for me, which I guess what a boss fight should be. We talked a little bit about how the world map functions in the Super Nintendo. You know, you get different vehicle upgrades, which allows you to move around to different areas. I don't think the world map is probably something like they had these ideas. They probably should have cut it. It doesn't make the game feel any more complex. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like these extra chores you have to do. You have to backtrack and get your next boat so you can go to your next area. And the world map in Super Mario World, which came out 6 years before this game, is so much better because it actually requires you to do stuff in the levels. Like, there's actual gameplay that takes place in the levels that makes the world map branch out and become more interesting. But anyway, I just wanted to just briefly mention this game again. I finished it. It's done. The credits rolled. I rescued Diddy and DK. And there were, like, spoken lines of dialogue. Well, not, like, spoken, like, audio, but there was text of dialogue. They spoke. They speak English.
Really?
These apes do. So, anyway.
Good for them.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. So that's my first game. You guys got one? You guys want to jump in?
Actually, I'm bringing very little to the table.
Okay.
I don't have anything.
Wes, tag in.
What can I talk about?
What can you talk about?
Well, a game I'm going to be talking about in the future, because I just downloaded it. Yet last night, really late, like something was wrong with my internet and it was super duper slow. And
maybe
so
it's the weather.
PlayStation Plus, I grabbed two free games from PlayStation Plus because they do that monthly. They'll come out with another game. They're like, here's this for free. So I picked up like Darksiders 2 for free.
Oh, nice.
And
you've played Darksiders 2 before, yeah?
I played it, but now I have it for free in my library, so I can download it whenever I want.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 5, never played it, don't know why. I was like, let's just grab it.
It's free,
shit.
Why not?
It's free, why not?
Seem like some pretty mainline titles.
Yeah, one of them's Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like the one chick, and she's got like a ghost that talks to her, or a spirit, or
Casper?
Whatever.
Is it like Casper the game?
Sure. Well, yeah, go with that. Why not?
Is it Christina Ricci?
I don't know. It's free, let's grab it. And so I also grabbed Rayman Legends.
Nice.
Which I was planning on buying this for the Switch anyways eventually, but now I have it for free on my PlayStation, which is fine. So I only played about 20 minutes of it. There's a lot of shit going on with that.
Sure is.
So I'm gonna be talking about that eventually. I only played through two levels.
Okay.
So
you think you would try to go for completion here, or you just kinda play through for fun?
Are
you just trying to get to the music levels and then be done?
I'm just going to play through the game. I'm not going to worry about being a 100% completionist, because that's maddening.
Yeah, it wasn't too difficult in that game. I think toward the end, though, you do have to grind a little bit for those glowing dudes.
Yeah.
But anyway, you play the music levels enough times, which you should.
Yes.
And you'll
really,
get
really good.
There.
And it's not that easy. It's not that difficult to, it's pretty easy to get do the completion of the Samus, because it kind of shows you what order that you're finding the dudes anyways throughout the levels. On the little bar, when you click to do, they pop up, and they pop up in order.
Yes.
So you just move backward, because in the first level I found a guy, and then she had like two guys behind me, behind that one. And so I just went backwards in the level and I found a couple, so
yeah, it's really, really friendly like that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's fun.
How's Xenoblade going?
Xenoblade,
because you started another run.
I had to put it down. I think I'm going to walk away from it, because this is becoming scary. So I put one obsession down to pick up a previous obsession. Just for a little bit. So I did another.
Uh-huh.
I started another run in Skyrim.
Stop it.
But we'll talk about Xenoblade. I did do a second run into it.
Yeah, you didn't beat it.
I'm at chapter. Yeah, I'm at the last boss, but I can't beat the last boss. Mm. And I don't.
So rather than doing some side quests, you thought, let's start over.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you create like a new profile in order to do a new save file?
Yeah, I wanted to do one anyways, because eventually I want to do Zelda.
Sure.
Is there like a New Game Plus feature in it?
There is.
And it's worthwhile to do New Game Plus. So
yeah,
I eventually plan on going back and actually just either finishing up this run or going back and finishing up my original run and doing the New Game Plus, because I really want to. But that last boss in it is actually pretty tough, because I'm actually a little below in levels within him. Tora, I put a couple items on him, and he's at max HP, and he's still got one-shotted.
Yeah.
Clearly my stats aren't high enough to take the blow. Like, so,
well, even
I've had to do a little work.
Even when you're at level parity with him, it'll still happen.
Yeah.
But what you just have to do is make sure that you're kind of spaced out from the rest of your party, because then, you know, someone KOs, someone just revive them.
Well, he does this one thing, it's like Prometheus something, it's this giant ball of fire, and it hits everything.
Well, move away from the rest of your party. And the rest of your party will kind of spread out.
Oh.
And it'll just one-shot somebody, or do really critical damage to somebody, and then you think someone else in the party will just go over and revive them. You'll be fine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
It's a technique that I think he uses it like once or twice throughout the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it
coming. Like, it takes him a second to do it.
Yeah. So I actually went and fought the final boss again.
Yeah.
And of course, at that point, I'm like level 97. I'm 20 levels higher than him, so it wasn't a big deal at all. But I went and fought this boss because there's an extra blade that you can get just in the standard game. They released a new character from...
Yeah, it was like
Telos.
Telos, yeah.
I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's from the Xeno Saga series of games from the PlayStation. And this character is available without doing the new game plus, but you do have to have beaten the final boss.
Okay.
And I wasn't... I didn't quite know that distinction quite yet. So I spent a probably good hour or two doing some grinding for the course to get this blade, and popped a bunch of cores and was unable to get it. And our buddy Jason on the Discord group was like, oh, that's weird. I got it within two tries. Like, I must be really have just terrible luck with this random number generator, because like, I can't make it happen. Until finally, I actually got some clarity, because a lot of places were saying, a lot of places I would look up, it's like, oh no, you have to be a New Game Plus. And our buddy Jason was like, you don't have to be a New Game Plus, because I haven't done one yet, and I have her. So then I finally got some clarity from this one source. I was like, it doesn't have to be New Game Plus, but you do have to have beaten the final boss. And I was like, okay, maybe, because I beat the final boss, but then it gave the option to save after the final boss, and I took that as save and then start a New Game Plus, which I didn't want to do yet.
Oh, I see.
So I went and beat the final boss again, saved, and it's not New Game Plus, but now that I've beaten the final boss...
How do you initiate New Game Plus? Is it just like in the main menu or
you
something?
You have to do it from the main menu, exactly. Okay. So I went through, beat the final boss again, and then got this blade within two tries.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's a dark attack, right?
It's a dark attack, yeah.
Yeah.
Great axe, right? Great axe. Mm-hmm. Looks like a scythe, but it uses a great axe. But I put her on Rex, because I can launch with a great axe with Rex.
The one thing you got to know about the New Game Plus as well is that when you start over, you get all the blades, but only the ones that are equipped to them. So you only have access to the blades that Rex has.
Right.
And the ones that Nia has. And you'll gain access to the other ones when you get Morag. So whatever you open on Morag, you'll get them when you get Morag.
I'm curious if they're always going to correspond. So the ones that I ended the game with, I started New Game Plus. The ones that I ended with Rex, are they guaranteed to open up on Rex? Or do I have a chance of popping these blades with Nia? Because I don't want to do that.
Like, what are you talking about?
So I have Telos on Rex.
Yeah.
If I start a New Game Plus, she'll be available from the beginning, because Rex you have at the beginning.
Yeah.
But will I have a chance of popping that blade on Nia if I open a core with Nia?
You don't really have a chance to pull the same blades. You already have them. So you're not going to pull them again.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. That answers my question.
It's just like, you're not going to pull two finches.
So you don't have to re-pop the blades.
No, you don't have to re-pop the blades. Okay. You, to my knowledge, you just have the blades.
Mm.
This is going to be the same. It's just,
that's good.
You won't have access to them until you get that character through the quest line.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have whatever you pulled on Zeke until you get Zeke in chapter 6, I think.
Right. That was just totally fine.
It's not a big deal.
I just didn't want to like have to go through the process of, okay, I need all these overdrive protocols now because I have all these...
Which I now know where three of them are in the game, which is nice. So I had three of them by the time I've had to use one so far, but I got two more. I'm just waiting to see if I need to move anybody. So far, I don't really have to move anyone.
I'm just a little bit disappointed that you don't have to pop them out of cores again. I'll tell you why. Because I spent a lot of time with Telos, maxing out her affinity chart as well. I think there's some really bullshit stuff to max out this sphere grid affinity chart. there is one node that it's just jump 6,000 times. Previous instances do count. So I played 200 hours of the games, like jump 6,000 times. I'm like, okay, well, I played 200 hours. I'm probably close. I finally got to that node, and it's like, you've done it 3,200 times. Like, oh, son of a bitch. Motherfucker. So I was watching, like, I was rewatching Legion or something, and I'm just sitting there on my Switch, and I look at the screen, just pressing the jump button over and over again. And it took, like, a half hour. But then, God, fucking Mika, because I put my Switch down for 2 seconds, she goes over to it and closes the game, and I hadn't saved.
Oh,
so I open it back up, like, okay, we're jumping again. jumping again for a half hour.
Sounds like hatching eggs in Pokemon.
Yeah.
When you don't have, like, a trick to do it.
Fast. Yeah, except you can't just run in the circle and hold the one direction.
You can't jam a penny under it and just put it down on the table and walk away.
And then your blade's a flame body.
I've literally done that before, though, with older versions of the game where I need to, like, do steps. I'm just, like, sitting there watching something and I'm just, like, just jostling my thumb back and forth in each direction while I'm just not even paying attention to the screen.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you put the volume on just loud enough to know when you're bumping into a wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've totally done that too.
6,000 jumps, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Goddamn.
The game's merciless.
The game challenges you, it sounds like.
Just do this mundane thing 6,000 times.
So you have to make things have affinity towards you and you jump? Oh my god. By the way, I listened to that whole conversation you guys just had, and it sounded like you mad-libbed the entire thing. It sounded like sketch comedy where you're making fun of a video game that doesn't exist.
We rehearsed. Before you got here, we rehearsed.
You guys really like this game.
Some of the other stuff you had to do was really
I'm just
fun.
Pretending it's all the things from Final Fantasy X that I know.
That I'm trying to put into that sort of context.
Because you're talking about sphere grids and affinities, and it's like you've got to have three of these portals for this guy with an axe or
something. The affinity chart is a sphere grid. It's a semicircle, and you have to do certain things.
And Raptar is there. I'm pretty sure you guys said Raptar is in the game somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or Rexar. Maybe that's...
Both are in the game.
Really?
So it's still good that you have those 55 cores.
I'm getting to that. Some of the other things that you could do...
Oh, don't worry. He'll get to the fucking core.
He'll get to the fucking core. Strap yourselves in, you motherfuckers.
A lot of the other things you have to do to fill out this grid...
So who's Kamari? Who's the guy that no one wants to play with?
Kamari is a piece of shit.
I don't know if this game has a Kamari. Everyone's pretty useful.
Yeah? Do the tigers that are companions have their own tigers?
No.
There are no nested tigers, is what you're telling me.
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. Well, this game sounds like shit. Tigers have nests. But, you know, like a Russian nesting doll, but with tigers. Like it opens its mouth.
Oh, dear God. And the tiger hops out.
A tinier and yet more vicious tiger.
And at the end of that tiger's tongue is another tiger. Like it's...
You got to that part in the game? It's got to be in there somewhere.
I think it's a New Game Plus. We haven't gotten there.
Not yet.
I'm sorry. I'm derailing you guys.
But
you're trying to learn this shit.
A lot of other things that you have to do in this grid are pretty fun. Like, go hunt down this monster, or go kill this group of monsters, that sort of thing.
Like, one of the blades is Zenobia, and she is a blade that all the nodes on her chart is, in the game there's unique monsters, and every node in that chart is a unique monster. So you're just going hunting for these things.
And so it's because you actually have to engage in combat. It's not something like, jump 6,000 times. Or there
God,
was one...
See, this is annoying.
There was one, I think it was for Nia, where you just have to fall from a certain height. Which, you know, is fun in its own way, because you think, okay, where's the highest thing I can think of, and let me try to find a way to jump off of it.
But again, I hope there's young children playing.
wait, you mean Nia's sphere grid for her blade form.
Exactly, okay. Yes. But, anyway, there was one other node on this grid that I wanted to talk about, where it's do a chain attack 50 times. And previous times you've done it do not count. So you have to do 50 more chain attacks.
Yeah,
so,
it's fucking annoying.
Yeah, me and Wes were talking before the show, so I'll give the abbreviated version here. There's a monster in a town that you basically have raised up. You have helped feed it, but then you can fight
and then
it.
You go kill it.
And then you can go kill it. But it's a very high-level monster. It has a lot of HP, so you can do a lot of grinding against it. So that's how I pulled off a lot of these chain attacks that I had to do. I just fought this monster a bunch of times. When it was just about to die, ended the fight, and let it regain its health. started fighting it again. Because I raised it. I didn't actually
want to kill
it. It's
got to be that living being.
Right. Like, oh, I feel so much better now. Here comes that motherfucker to stab me again.
Oh, my God. Again with this.
But, is he going to feed me or is he going to cut me? Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm done feeding. I'm going to cut it every time now.
Oh, my God.
But in order to build up your meter to do a chain attack, you do a lot of driver combos. Your brake, topple, smash, launch. And that also spawns a lot of valuable items. So now I have 55 legendary cores, which are good for acquiring those rare character blades.
What are they called? I thought you're dumbing it down for me.
They're
rare character blades.
Yeah. But, God, now, and you're telling me that New Game Plus, they're useless to me.
They're not useless. Except you need them in order to pull the Torna blades.
Right.
Which is 4. It is
I got 55, so I better have a pretty good shot.
Hopefully. It's Akkos, Petroka, Sever, and Abrona. And Sever is Malice's blade, that wind one. And Abrona is, of course, Akkos' blade from the game.
Of course.
And there's another one for Tora. It's another, like, artificial blade, except...
Well, that one actually can be used for anybody.
Right.
You don't have to... Yeah, it's Poppy Buster.
Mm-hmm. Which of course, going to go on Tora.
Which makes me think... You can go on Tora, I think. I think it's usable by anybody.
Oh, it's going on Tora.
It's going on Tora, yeah. And then, later on in the end of this year, we got more blades coming out.
Yeah.
From the DLC. Which I'm thinking it's probably the other two Torna blades that you saw. That weird multi-arm guy with all the weapons and the other big dude.
Maybe.
So that'd be interesting if it's those.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We've been torturing Ryan long enough here. Ryan, tap in. Give us something here.
I don't have anything to talk about.
It's the mini show.
I've been playing Diablo 3 with my buddy James.
Okay.
Who hasn't played before. And I've been kind of walking him through the game, and it's been going pretty good.
You just make a new character and level up with him?
Yeah, new ladder character.
Who you pick?
I'm rolling Crusader.
Crusader.
Crusader
finds boring.
I like Crusader a lot.
I just don't like those characters. You just generally walk up and just smack them with your face. I mean, that's just all you do.
I like... The build that I'm probably going to go with is the Seeker of the Light, which is about falling sword and just tons of hammers. Just riding around like an asshole on your horse. That's kind of what I'm going to do. And it's going to be fun. It's a high power, high damage. Good for minions. And James rolled... I didn't tell him to do it, but I'm glad that he did. He picked a monk. I think monk is the most fun. And
his barefisted?
Yep. And just the absolute, like, every single set, I feel like, is just fun.
What was the newer one? It's the...
Monkey King Garb is the one you get for this.
No, the
season.
New character. It's the skull guy.
Oh, Necromancer?
Necromancer. It's just a straight Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played him.
Yeah.
He does look like fun, though.
Yeah, but it's been going good so far. So he actually has a timer on the character. And I know he's played a little without me, but he's played for about... I think 13 hours. And I've already got him rolling safely through Torment level 4.
Damn.
So it's going pretty good. I mean, my off build, the one that I'm not playing, because I only play this character when I'm playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he only played because... So like when I know how to min-max the characters really well, especially early on to get experience. So I had decked my guy out with all of this experience multiplier stuff. And he eventually kind of wanted to be like, I want to do more damage. I want to have fun.
I want to be good.
Exactly. And I was like, go ahead, ditch your experience stuff. I kept mine on. So I had progressed a little harder, a little further.
Oh, so he was doing the same thing as you.
So he grinded up on top. Yeah, I was coaching him the whole way through.
But then he was just like, I want to make the character the way I want it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And there's season journeys that you have to complete. So I'm sort of coaching him through how to quickly get the season journeys done, and he's getting his set pieces. And yeah, before you know it, he had a complete Monkey King set. He's building out his other sets. I'm telling him to do... Well, I mean, I'm thinking he will enjoy the most arraignment duo gen. Was arraignment, is it? Because the game really revolves around the sets that you equip your guys with. I think more than anything else, it's the sets and then maximizing the sets' skill bonuses.
So really each character has multiple sets of armors that you can get. And each...
How many different pieces of armor is it like?
It depends.
Five?
So,
like, typically, it's like...
The main one that your character will equip is usually six.
Yeah.
But there is also...
And are there pieces of armor that work well together, or is it all just kind of...
Okay. Yeah, like, you can do different things, like different weapons will enhance certain things, but these armor sets you get have perk bonuses the more of the set you equip.
Hmm.
So you're essentially working off a checklist. Like, I got this and this, so now these are unlocked. And yep. I got this perk with that. And it's strengthening this ability. So it's all revolving around a particular ability you can choose to use or not use. It's up to you. But... Like, this set's going to increase pick an ability.
Oh, so, like, for example, I use a speed farming build on my... Oh, gosh, what do you call those? The assassin class? Well, I can't even think of the name of the assassin class.
Oh, God, what is that thing called?
Yeah, but
Demon
I...
Demoner.
Yeah, thank you. I use this Shadow Mantle set. And what that does... And I use this ability called Impale. The Demon Hunter is supposed to use bows. I think most of the builds revolve around using a bow. I roll with daggers because with the Shadow Impale set, or the Shadow Mantle set, you basically are getting these crazy stacked bonuses where it does massive damage to Fan of Knives and Impale, which are going to be your two damage dealers. When you have four of the six set pieces total, it unlocks every rune of a very useful skill. That's like a passive that just makes you more deadly, more evasive, faster. And then the last one is literally a straight-up 10,000 times damage multiplier to your Impale. And, the thing just is, like... And the numbers burst out at you, and I know it's exponential growth. Numbers are meaningless, essentially. But I love it when I'm literally just jizzing out these fucking daggers at everybody, and it literally pops forward and says... 2.5 billion damage. It's like, oh, that's great.
That feels good.
My health is only 800,000. So it's like, I'm just...
You killed yourself 40 times over.
Yeah, I know. And so the idea with the speed farm build is that I'm also... Again, you can get so far down the well with sets and how you use sets and the other items equipped. So, like, I'm running this big shadow set, which is just fucking gorgeous. I have a quiver that I can equip, even though the quiver doesn't contain... It contains arrows. I don't use them, but... The quiver does this thing where one of my daggers from the impale now turns into three.
Hmm.
The idea behind this Demon Hunter build is that it's a single source, massive amount of direct damage. It's good for taking down elites and champions, bosses, things
so
like that.
So each of your little projectiles, your dagger is going to do its own separate damage.
Yeah.
So the more hits you can get in, the more damage you're going to rack up.
Bingo. And impale, technically, you usually also have a generator and a spender of your primary resource. So, like, you build up your stuff using weaker attacks, and then you hit them with the hardest thing you have. The build is that it's not a cheat. They intended it to be played this way, but Impale is my spender, and it is also my generator because of the way that I've used certain items in the game. So the weapon that I run with it is called the Carrail's Point, I think. And every second hit returns the damage, or returns the... mana, we'll call it, mana spent. I don't know what it is. It's like hatred or something. Returns a mana spent. So I hit a whole horde of these guys with just one impale, and then immediately my mana bar is filled back up to full, so I can just sit there and cast it over and over again, when really, the game would generally, if you didn't do all of the specking with the characters, it would expect you to, you know, like, hit them with some other little dagger attack to build up your bar and then throw an impale, and instead I'm literally just churning the game with impales. Just everything melts in front of you. It's just so much fucking damage. It feels so good. And I'm rolling through, and the maximum torment, I think, is 13. And I've got this guy, this lady, cleaning up on torment 11 right now. Oh, and I use... The other thing that's so fucked up about this, I use a belt called a gold wrap, which is actually a item from Diablo 2. There's actually a ton of Diablo 2 stuff neatly nested into Diablo 3. It's the gold wrap belt, which what that does is it gives me armor, Every time I pick up gold for like 8 seconds. And then I also have a ring called the Avarice Ring, which, what is that? It gives me, what is it, extra? Oh, it's every time I pick up gold, it increases my pickup radius to a maximum of 30 yards, which is kind of like half the screen. It's a huge pickup radius. And then on top of that, I'm using this thing called the Boon of the Hoarder, which is a gem, a special gem I can equip into my rings or amulets that then makes it so that there's a max, I think, a 40% chance that killing an enemy spawns gold or just drops gold. So I am rolling around the map, killing everything super efficiently, and before I know it, I've got stacked 2 million, 3 million gold, which equates to 2 million or 3 million armor, which means I'll never die. Nothing in the game will ever touch me. You know? It's just...
Does it equate to that much armor because of something else you have your character equipped?
No,
or
yeah,
is that just kind of a regular function of the game?
It's that trio of items. It's the gold wrap, which gives me armor per gold pickup. It's the Avarice Band, which increases the radius of my pickup. So now I don't even have to move. I'm just constantly picking up gold. And then on top of that, I have the Boon of the Hoarder, which greatly increases the chance that an enemy drops gold. And, like, you will frequently find yourself encounter a pack where it's, like, 8 things or 20 things or 30 things. Who knows? Like, there are lots of times lots of minions. So I'm slinging a bunch of arrows at them, or daggers at them, killing everything. They're constantly dropping gold, which feeds my armor supply, which just makes me this really unstoppable monster.
Nice.
In the game. And this is, like, my favorite, probably my favorite build, but I'm also super squishy. Like, there's 2 or 3 bosses I cannot fight because the first thing that they do is immediately teleport to me and stab me, and I instantly die. Like, I just cannot, I can't get the gold to sustain the life on it. But I avoid those fights, and then I just turn through the rest of the game like I want to. But that's like my dream build. That's probably my favorite Diablo 3 build. And that's what I do whenever I start a new season, just because it's the best for efficiently acquiring gear. Yeah, and right now I'm doing this Crusader Hammer build, which is a lot of fun. Like, they have this thing called Blessed Hammer, where you kind of summon a hammer that spins around you. And it's all this stuff about maximizing that to its full potential. And yeah, James is rolling with a monk, and the monk is at the same time super defensive and also can do so much damage. So yeah, it's been fun.
Good.
I like it. I like Diablo a lot, of course. I feel like I talk about Diablo constantly. So that's literally the only game I've been playing recently. But it's been fun. Oh, and we are also playing Diablo 2. But I think
nice.
James seems to have latched onto Diablo 3 more because it is a lot less clicking. It's a lot less like intense. Like, you forget just how much inventory matters in Diablo 2, and all of the little esoteric things you gotta remember about your character and the way that the game and the world operates. Like, to me, it's secondhand, because I've literally spent more time playing Diablo 2 than, God, maybe every other game combined, for all I know. Like, I play so much Diablo 2 that I'm kind of just used to how weird it is at times and how punishing the game can be, even more than Diablo 3. Like, Diablo 3 is sort of like... You test your limits with it.
Maybe we should do the same thing we do with me in Skyrim. Just don't talk about it.
You guys gotta just cut me off if I'm going too much about this shit. But yeah. Again, the Diablo 3 makes you think a little bit less. Or not less, but just makes you flow through the game.
There's a lower barrier to entry.
One of the biggest things, actually, I mean, just to bring this one point, I'll say the difference. The biggest difference between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 is that the only way to execute a spell in Diablo 2 is through your mouse. You left click and you right click. And then you can rebind your entire mapping on your keyboard to have each and every one of those be a different. I think it's like 20 spells you can max out. So then you're basically just with your left hand constantly jostling through the letters, A, B, C, D, whatever, and then right clicking every time you want to spam that spell. So it makes you in your head juggle the key bindings for the spells that you remember, and then you have to properly execute them. Meanwhile, in Diablo 3, you have your left click and your right click, and then it is simply 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's it. So the game doesn't even allow you to have 7 things you can do. Meanwhile, in Diablo 2, you have essentially infinite things you could do. Not infinite. I mean, there's certainly a cap. But you could...
At least 26 for every letter of the alphabet.
Sure, why not? And then you can rebind your fucking F keys or whatever. But yeah,
and
yeah. So
Shift A, Shift B.
Oh, get the fuck out of here!
Oh, totally. And there's
people... Oh, I was joking.
No, there's actually programs you can download that will layer over it. So it's like,
okay,
if you want to cast, if you are a barbarian who needs to cast 3 different shouts in a row, it'll chain those keys together so you can do like a quick shortcut command and it will automatically
pop them. Okay, that's cool.
Yep. So, yeah, Diablo 3 is a lot more fluid. Looks prettier because it's a much more modern game. Mm. Still, people talk about how bubbly the game is, I feel like, but it is so horrifying and gruesome sometimes. You kind of just forget that, I think, because a lot of it's so pretty. But the game really is vicious in a lot of ways. But,
okay.
I'm done. No more. Somebody else talk about something.
He's biting himself a lot.
Don't worry about him. He's just a goober. Well, I cut the grass recently. We're talking about the dog right now. I'm not going to cut this. I cut the grass in the backyard recently. He's a little bit... He's a little fucking twerp. He's a little sensitive to the grass.
Sherlock.
Oh, you're sensitive to the grass, dog.
Yeah, grass
messes
with my
fucking dog. You're supposed to be... You were designed to live outside.
Yeah, no, we bred that out of him.
Where are the packs of Sherlocks, like, roaming the open plains? They don't exist.
How majestic.
they try to hang out with all the meerkats.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got a game that we haven't talked about before.
What's up?
I am Setsuna is the title of this game. It's one from Square Enix. Square Enix published it. Square Enix also has a development house called Tokyo RPG Factory. And what they've done over the past several years is make these smaller retro-style RPGs. It's not pixel art. It's a more modern-looking game. It uses polygons. It was a really nice-looking game. Kind of like...
Oh, I saw it on your game list that we were looking at earlier.
Yeah, it's got like this very snowy aesthetic, so it's winter throughout the entire game, and it has like a very like pastel-y art color palette, but very few like reds and oranges, yeah.
Looks very pleasant.
It's a very nice-looking game. Yeah. It is, of course, it's an RPG.
All the trees are frosted with snow.
Indeed. So when I started this game, it's not a very long game. I clocked just over 20 hours from start to finish. And that's even with a bit of loop grinding that I did, which I'll get to in a little bit here.
How much face touching?
Zero face touching.
Damn it.
So I was a little bit lukewarm on this game until I got to the more end game stuff. Like the aesthetic and the battle system were enough to draw me back in. I think I started about this game about 2 weeks ago. So in about 2 weeks, I burned through the entire thing. But first of all, we need to start with this. There are zero maps. Zero maps.
I'm surprised you made it past 10 minutes.
Zero crates.
You're technically positive? Zero.
Yeah.
You're technically positive on this game?
Yeah, and I am positive
on this game. What am I going to do with an antique case? Sorry. See, he's not going to...
Yeah, I know. I'm still laughing about that.
None of the dungeons you enter have maps. There's no world map, so as you're moving throughout this world, you don't understand where you're going in relationship to where you've already been.
So someone's just like, go find the snowy tree and then go to the other snowy tree?
Oh, right. Well, you know, it is very much like an RPG. An NPC will tell you this is the place you need to go next. But they have this world designed where basically, like, it's like Pokemon Black White, where you're basically looping around the world map and then eventually get to the center where the end boss is.
Oh, it's like, what star did you go with?
I went with the fire starter, of course.
Oh, nice.
And what you end up doing is, because it's kind of streamlined, like a world map isn't necessary when you're playing through the game, because the next place you're going to is always just the next place you can get to, if you're just moving like clockwise or counterclockwise around this map. So... But by the time I got to the end of the game, there was a bit of backtracking to do to find like some treasure chests you couldn't access before. And at that point, I just needed to pull a map up off the internet to figure out where I wanted to go next. But anyway, the game does do a very good job of keeping you moving forward. It's got a good sense of forward momentum. because none of the dungeons are very long, none of the areas you have to go through are very long. The battles are not random, which is great. It just kind of it keeps you moving forward and not having to worry about, okay, I've cleared out this area already of battles, but if I need to backtrack, I'm going to run into them again. That's not how it works. If you're in one area and you've cleared all the battles, until you leave that area and come back, they won't be back. So you know that okay. You have some safety there.
Anyway.
But I did finish the game. It moves pretty briskly. I probably could have finished this game. I could see it being finished in like 15 hours. It's not a super long game at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I should probably start with those battles because that's your primary form of gameplay. It's turn-taking. Has an active time bar like your pixel art Final Fantasies and your PlayStation Final Fantasies.
Yeah, we're looking at some artwork here. Yeah. So you got a roster of 6 people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the way they're lined up here...
There is a 7th, but you don't get him till actually just before like the final boss rush.
This picture I find funny because they have the 6 on that line. And from left to right, it goes from chick with the tiny stick to other... Is that chick or dude? I can't see from this angle.
I'm pretty sure that's a lady. Look at the hair on that one.
With all the shit. Yeah, so as you go through this line...
And she looks like she's like an angelic armored soldier.
As you go through this line, they're getting more and more stuff.
And this is like... So again, this is like Final Fantasy X, right? So this is our main dude, Titus.
Yeah.
This is...
I'm guessing that's 6 enough.
Aaron? What's that guy's
Aaron,
name?
Yeah, looks like Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah, Aaron.
He's got a big sword on his back.
I hate to say it. She looks like she's a badass. I'm going to say that's our Kamari. I think Luna, probably?
Yuna?
Or Yuna, thank you. No, that's Yuna. That's Luna. And then
Lulu?
Lulu?
Riku, right? Lulu.
That does look like Riku.
That's
kind of funny. This does actually look like
Riku. This is a Square Enix RPG. It is very self-referential. And the plot itself is like Final Fantasy X. There is this ancient evil, and Setsuna, the titular character, has to go sacrifice herself in order to quell the ancient evil for another 10 years.
Well, they play Kriegball.
What?
Well, they play Kriegball.
Yes.
Oh, the chick is Setsuna.
Yeah. That is the main character girl.
And that's who you control. Are.
Well, it's an RPG. You control whoever people in your party.
Well, you always control one person.
No. Whoever's,
like when you're moving around.
Whoever's lead in your party is the person you control.
Okay.
It's an RPG.
Sure.
If you bench a character, you don't see them. It's a three-person
So it's like X-Men Legend. I can have whoever.
Exactly. Well, close to Final Fantasy VII, where they just merge into you.
Which was great. Yes.
I'm sending some mixed messages here. Like, are we satanic or not?
Yes.
Because some of us seem satanic. Some of us seem like they might not be.
Yeah. And well, I mean, in the game, what are they?
Oh, just to clarify.
Well, it's very Japanese. There is no like path of righteousness. It's even if like something that is angelic and something that is demonic are essentially just two sides of the
same
thing. Are
the trees good or bad? Because I feel like the trees are a big part of this.
No, the trees are good, and the trees don't play a part in it at all.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so
why is it on the cover art? And why are you walking to a tree? Explain that. Why am I walking to a tree?
It's just a Japanese aesthetic that I like a lot.
Yeah, great.
So
is that what was that picture? There's like a penguin eating a person.
I think that's fan art.
Okay.
Oh, for fuck's
fan
sake.
Art. Okay.
Yeah. The battles are a thing in the game.
Oh, we're looking at screenshots of that. Yeah, you got health bars and shit, man. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is an RPG.
So you get 3 commands: your attack command, which is just a regular melee strike. Every character has these skills. Then you also have an item. There is no flee option. There's no option to run, which did cause a bit of commotion toward the end. And like in any sort of standard RPG battle, the active time bar fills. But there's also this secondary meter that fills up as well. And when you have...
Oh, is it the blue one? Because yeah, I see a big red bar, green bar, and a blue bar.
The blue one. The blue one will fill over time if you're just kind of like... If you're just waiting on your turn, if you're not executing any action, it'll fill. But then also when you sort of take any action or are attacked, it'll also fill. So there are multiple ways you can fill it up. But what that'll do is that will give you like... an extra sort of burst on your attack if you execute it. So you do an attack or a skill and you tap the button in the correct timing, and it will give you some extra power in your attack and will also give you an extra effect. So there are effects that will give you a stat boost or do a debuff on the enemy or give you a higher chance for a critical, that kind of thing. So executing that secondary meter isn't essential, but it helps. So you get...
Do you have a character it seems like every screenshot has 3 characters.
Okay.
And a fight at one time.
Yes.
Do you alternate the characters in the set play?
Yeah. You can run through the game with just three characters if you want, or you can swap them out.
And just have a bench of characters you don't use.
Right.
You can't swap them mid-fight, though, can you?
Who do you like playing with?
I like the main character, the Titus guy. When I got to the end, I was I had everyone pretty much even until I entered like the final area, and by then I had selected like the three party members and had them equipped pretty well with stuff I wanted. So Setsuna was in my main party. She's your main healer. She keeps everybody alive. That's why she's important. She can also.
She the littlest one, or is she like the red haired one?
She's the red haired one.
Okay.
The one right.
She looks pretty fly, man. Look at those leg tattoos. What's that about? Right?
Littlest one is like the Riku character you were saying. Mm-hmm. She was also in the party, and she's a really great character because of some of the stuff I had equipped her. Like you were saying with your assassin build, this character has a chance. She wields two daggers. So if you're playing your battles correctly, you can execute four or five hits in one attack with this character.
Nice.
And she doesn't do a ton of damage, but also you can equip some stuff to her that will increase her critical hit ratio, which also, there's a stat in RPGs called luck, and luck affects a lot of different things, including like your chance of critical hit.
Dodge. And
your dodge.
Criticals.
Your chance of putting a stat debuff on the enemy as well. And I'm pretty sure in this game it affects all those things. So when you equip something that says higher crit ratio, it means it's equipping your luck. Mm-hmm. And when I equip something else to her that also has... also gives her the ability to inflict stop on an enemy when she hits them.
Nice.
And she hits them five times. I get a pretty good chance.
So she's like a combo, like a time mage?
Right.
Assassin?
Yeah, and she also like uses slow and haste. So yeah. Okay. So she uses like that time magic. And so when like you're just doing a regular attack and you're hitting five times and you have a good chance of putting stop, you can bring
battles
to a halt very quickly.
I'm not going to judge you, but I'm going to judge you.
Okay.
Here. I feel like your picks are racially motivated.
You think so?
Yeah, because you're not using either of the two brown people.
I think that is fair, but I don't think...
Do you think that they intentionally made them not good?
Mm.
Or is that you?
See, that's the thing.
Chicken or the egg debate. Who's racist? You or them?
Let me work around.
I just like that we're having this racial discussion, and for once, I'm not the racist.
Let me
work around. Yeah, clearly it's John Ansgar. Still buy their games.
Let me work around to this, because I did end up using the big burly black man with the big sword, the Auron character. So, first of all, I just want to mention that you have these different skills in battle, and skills will do things like heal or use magic or use an attack that has an effect, like an attack that will confuse or stun an enemy, that kind of thing. And what you do to get these skills is you need these little items called Sprite Knights. And Sprite Knight is basically materia from Final Fantasy VII. When you have it equipped to a character, it will give them that skill that they can then use in battle. And
okay.
there are some materia that is specific to a character, like the lady with a bunch of weapons on her back, she uses ice magic. So if you get any sort of ice materia, it can only go on her. And then there's other materia that can be equipped across the board onto any character.
Mm-hmm.
And what this game is trying to do there is trying to be Chrono Trigger. This game is very heavily influenced by Chrono Trigger because there are these combinations that you can have where if character A and character B both have these materia equipped to them that work together, they can then, like when both of their active time bars are filled, they can do a combo together, which is a much more powerful attack. I think that where they kind of lose the plot a little bit is that there are not many combinations throughout the game. I found four, maybe five.
Well, you said off the bat, this is like a simple game. Not a simple game, but it's just like it's a quick game.
Right.
There's probably not that much time to really deeply explore that, like a myriad combinations.
And that's the other thing, is they want you to use these combinations, but it doesn't really give you the opportunity to experiment. There's not a point in the game where it's like, okay, stop, you need to figure out this combination before you progress. You can go throughout the game without using a combination at all, which I think is antithetical to the way that like, Chrono Trigger wanted you to play.
Good Lord.
If they wanted to be Chrono Trigger, then they kind of missed the point a little bit there, which is, I think, what they wanted to do.
I also feel like you're naming off like a greatest hits collection. You're saying this is like Final Fantasy VII, this is like Chrono Trigger. In what capacity is this like Bouncer?
But
another Square Enix title, maybe the best they've done.
Oh my god!
When Square Enix makes a legacy looking RPG, they're going to draw comparisons to their legacy games. And Chrono Trigger is a tough comparison because that was a moment in time that probably will not happen again, where you had all like this meeting of the minds of all these legendary artists and composers and game designers all working on one thing together.
It's like the Traveling Wheelberries, but for
right, video yes, games. Yeah. But again, you probably will never see that again. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, this game misses the mark a little bit when it comes to that, but where it does really succeed is using your stat debuffs. And there are a bunch of different stat debuffs. We mentioned Stomp already. Stun, which resets your enemy's active time bar, which is another skill that I had on another character. So if I didn't just inflict Stomp on them, guess what? You're stunned anyway. You got to reset your time bar, which resets your turn. There are other, like Confusion. Confusion isn't like in Pokemon. When you're confused, whenever you inflict damage on an enemy, you also take some of it back on yourself.
Okay, that's a different way to approach it.
Yeah, so, and I think that's where the game really shines.
I was gonna be like, Confusion would maybe make you accidentally hit your own teammate or something.
No, it's not nearly that mean.
Yeah.
But it is a pretty hefty penalty. And these stat ailments will stick on you even after battle. So you always have to keep some items around.
Is it like a holy well you can clean yourself off in or something?
No, the items are plentiful. Like, there's a whole economy to the game that I won't get too much into. You harvest parts off of enemies, you sell them off, that's how you get money, you stock up on all your consumable items, but also the parts you harvest also work into what materia you can craft. All the materia has to be craft, you don't actually find it.
So it seems like when you're actually in some of these fights, it goes into like this kind of chibi art style mode, is that a thing? I feel like I'm seeing two different kind of like fight scenes where it's like this big overworld fight scene and then these like little cutesy animated.
Are you sure? No, that's weird. I didn't encounter any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fights are seamless to like the battlefield. Like you see the fights aren't random. You see the enemies on the field. You walk up to them. You start a fight.
Are there different formats of the game? Like, is there like a DS version of this game?
No.
I guess you're playing on Switch, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's
yeah.
Hmm.
No, not that I'm aware.
Maybe there's a mobile version.
Yeah.
Or something.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, but...
Oh, no, that's right. It's on the iPhone.
Oh,
as yeah. with all Nintendo games, they're going to be on the iPhone very soon. Get ready.
It's a Square Enix game. But Square Enix
yeah, they're calling it the virtual console.
Yeah.
That's a subject for the official show. Anyway, so what ended up doing...
You refused to bring this topic up, by the way. I think the past like three episodes we've done, I keep trying to force into this whole phone thing, like Nintendo, like to be on everyone's phones.
Well, it was at their investor briefing, and we will talk about it because they have a new president.
Is this an official show kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's an official show, crap.
Alright.
So... The plus I need time to work my case by why everyone is wrong and I'm right. That's what the official show is for.
Yes.
So
you've staged the mock debate within yourself.
Yes.
So now you're ready to like launch all of this information at us that assures us that you're
get my soapbox.
He's gonna make us feel foolish like he did with the Labo.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, right? I got five Labos, by the way. I didn't
know. Oh, good. Oh, you should bring them over. We'll let Ripley play with them.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really fun. I love cardboard.
I got my Labo pizza box. It's really fun. A pizza came inside it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
For real? Oh.
What was the intent? Okay, so I get to the end of the game, and the end of the game, you're finally given an airship. You can go anywhere you want throughout the world, and you also get like this key that will unlock these treasure chests that you encounter throughout the world. And I had a lot of fun there because that's when I actually got to build my party the way I wanted to. I got to spec out these characters. Like I mentioned before, Assassin Girl who has a lot of stop. My main character had some stun debuffs, and they also had a good combo together. And then Setsuna the healer, who also has this... it was like you were saying about the Diablo character, where you are using a skill that uses up your mana, but also using that skill replenishes your mana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has a skill where... If I use that second meter that we mentioned before, if I use that skill and also use that second meter, I'm dishing out a lot of damage, restoring my mana, and then also restoring everyone's HP.
Oh.
So she was a really valuable character to have in there as well.
Nice.
So I get my characters all spec'd out. I find all of the treasure chests throughout the world. I had beaten a ton of enemies at that point because you're revisiting areas and beating up on previous enemies that you'd fought. I had a ton of money. I actually went and spent all of my money on Mega Elixirs, which, if you're unfamiliar with Final Fantasy, they restore your entire party's HP and MP. So I basically had 10 of these automatic resets if I had trouble in the final boss.
Nice.
So I get to the final dungeon, which is aptly named Final Dungeon. It's great. Well done. Once again, proving that Square Enix is the best at naming things.
Yeah.
And I felt really good about my team. I was clearing battles super easy.
Is the boss named like Start Credits now?
I was clearing battles super easy. And I was in the fourth floor, which turned out to be the final floor of this final dungeon. I don't know why they named it final floor. It seemed to be like their sort of motif that they were going with. Mm-hmm. But I hit a wall. So I run into this group of enemies. And it's just like, they're not like strong enemies or anything. It's just like this group of randos. But it was like this perfect configuration to take out my team. Because if you get like a sneak attack, which means like you walk into the back of an enemy before they notice you. You get a
a free turn, right? Yeah. Essentially ahead of them before the actual meters start up.
You get a free turn. Okay. But this group of enemies, and when I would get a free turn, I would almost always just use Setsuna's attack that restored everyone's HP plus her MP, like her most powerful attack. And most of the time, it was good enough to clear out the battle. So I run into this group of enemies. Turns out two of them were immune to that skill.
Ooh.
And My other characters weren't enough to take them out. As soon as they got a turn in, one of the enemies cast haste on the entire enemy party.
Good.
And then the other enemy had like this rampaging attack that did heavy damage to one character and splash damage to the other characters. And because haste was cast, he got this attack off twice. And it's such a powerful attack that even though I also had auto revives on all of my characters, it took me out completely. And
That's pretty mean-spirited.
And it set me back a half hour, because there were no save points from the start of the dungeon to that point, which turns out was the last battle of that dungeon.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Man.
So I was like, okay, I'm confident with this price. So and you lose everything. You fucking lose everything. You don't keep your items, you don't keep your it sends you back to the root menu.
Uh-huh.
You don't keep your levels, anything. So I go through this dungeon again, I was like, okay, I'm confident in this party. I think I know what I'm doing now. I fight them again, and I get beat again. I lose half an hour. I go back. I get to them.
Can you do save states?
No.
Oh no, it's a Switch.
No, this isn't a virtual console game or anything. Like this is a new game.
Crap, it's about two days right now.
So I get back to them, and the third time I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna sneak around them. You can sneak around enemies and not even engage in a fight. Like, I'm not even going to bother with this fight anymore because I'm clearing out all these battles within one turn. I don't feel like I need to level up anymore to take on this final boss.
Do you think maybe there was just some mechanic you're not thinking about? Or maybe something that, say, one of your minority characters
could have supported you. Maybe you're just not as good as you think you are.
Stand by. Because I try to sneak around them, they spot me, they kill me again. Like, motherfucker, alright, I'm going to have to actually change up my party here. Oh. I don't want to. Because now all these characters that I had been using are about 6 levels higher than the characters that I benched at the end game. So, alright, whatever, doesn't matter. I bring in Dude with the Big Sword, mm-hmm. one of the minority characters. And throughout the early part, like the early parts in the game, like him and Swordsman, Titus character guy, have a combo together that does heavy damage on all enemy characters and plus stuns them and confuses them.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that was just the magic combination that I needed. Oh, so I get to like this battle that had killed me. I'd wasted an hour and a half to 2 hours of time bashing my head against this wall of enemies and failing every time, and I killed him in one turn.
Nicely done.
So I probably should have been more inclusive. From the beginning.
Hey, you know, that's what you learn, man. Yep. Ebony and ivory. Perfect harmony, that's what it took.
Indeed. But yeah, then I took on the final boss. He wasn't a big deal at all.
Yeah.
I put together my standard party that I've been using before, and yep, everything was good.
Sounds pretty lukewarm on this game. I'm just kidding. Sounds like you enjoyed this game.
I did. Once I was able to build that party that I really liked and actually went around fighting battles the way I wanted to fight them instead of trying to struggle to find combinations,
mm-hmm.
it would end up being really fun. Like, once I got to the point, like, where you were with Diablo, like, I like the way this character behaves, and I'm going to be able to rely on the way this character behaves. It was great.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that one part where I just kind of refused to change up my party at all that got me into some trouble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once you get to, like, the very last boss fight, it does give you like a warp point if you want to go back out to the main world, and then you can use that warp point at any time if you want to do some extra stuff. But I don't know, I was ready to wrap it up. There's probably some side stuff that I could have done, but I ended up just moving on with my life. Mm-hmm. Overall, I do recommend it. Yeah, so I think that some people are a little bit off-put by the... By the aesthetic. It doesn't... Like, it's winter throughout the entire game, so I think that it got a little bit overbearing for some people. And also, the music is very minimalistic. It's a lot like Breath of the Wild, where it's just piano. It's just piano music throughout the entire thing. There are a couple different themes, none of that bothered me in the slightest. It was just...
It's not like a saloon piano either. It's just like a quiet tinkling of keys.
Right. It's that ragtime.
Yeah. That's very random, too. Like, it wasn't even a song. It was just somebody hitting random keys. Just
ding, 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 ding. So, actually, I collect records. The Shining soundtrack is massively out of print. If you were to try to go find a copy of The Shining on vinyl record, you're probably running about $200, $230.
Okay.
Very expensive.
I mean, that doesn't seem as bad when you load it with $2,000.
Yeah, no, it's
like... Well, only $200, okay.
If you want a $2,000 record, if either of you were to stumble across, was it AC/DC's Back in Black with the original splattered pressing?
Oh, yeah?
On colored wax, it's worth about $2,000.
Nice.
But best of luck finding that. At any rate, no, the Shining soundtrack, what was funny is, like, people are like, yes, this is a really expensive record. And, like, people are like, I got it knowing it was a really expensive record. And I was like, fine. And I listened to it once. And I'm like, I'll never listen to it again. Not because it's bad, but just because it's, like, so, like, just horrifying and creepy. Where it is that sort of thing. Where it's, like, an entire record where it's just, like, just people, like, just, like... Like crying in horror very quietly in the back while someone's just like bing on a piano, just like random key strikes on a piano with like just people being tortured, slightly, very, very quietly in the back of the mix. It's like, oh, that's great. I imagine this is probably not what it's about, but I imagine it's probably also very minimal.
No, it's not
they got the inspiration from it,
yeah.
It's much more serene,
yeah.
Anyway, as you might have guessed from the art style, one more game. That I got here.
Okay.
That one to update. We talked a little bit about the official Bible, Lightfall, which is the kind of like silhouette style platformer where you spawn the boxes underneath your feet and to the sides of you to kind of create your own path. But when I left off talking about the game, I was a little bit lukewarm on it. I think like the conclusion I came up with, like if you're looking for a game like Celeste, this one's fine, but if you're just looking for like a really like hardcore 2D platformer that gives you a good challenge,
get Celeste.
And you haven't played Celeste, then the answer is obviously to get Celeste. But so I did leave off on the final boss fight, and I did go through the final boss fight. I finished the game. So I think I clocked about 4 hours total playing this game.
Yeah, that was no frills. Brass tacks beat the game approach.
Right. Well, and I don't think there are any real. Oh wait, no. There are collectibles. There are like little things that you can grab throughout the game if you want.
With a light source, maybe that would help.
You'd get a flashlight.
Yeah.
I clocked about 4 hours, and 25% of that was just on the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
Like this final boss is fucking bullshit. Like this is one of the,
like you're dying to him a lot, or is this a really long boss fight?
No, dying a lot. So here's the thing. So it's a platformer, and it's an okay platformer to that point. It's fine. It does a good job of like keeping you moving forward. It wants you to run quickly throughout the game and make your own path around all these different obstacles. It does all right. There's better games. There's worse. It's fine. But then you get to this boss fight that's all about dodging all these projectiles and obstacles that are coming at you rather than just kind of running around quickly. It doesn't utilize those platforming skills that it's wanted you to have throughout this game. So first of all, you don't have any idea how to damage it at first. It's just this big guy in a sort of like mech looking suit, and he's like, "I'm here to kill you."
Well, and now don't say how you actually beat the guy, because you're gonna spoil it.
No, you shouldn't play this fight.
Oh, you just shouldn't play this.
No. No, this is a fucking... I nearly rage quit. If I wasn't playing this game at work, then I wouldn't have finished it. I would have been like, no, I'm done with this game. I'm never fucking playing it again.
Good to know that you work at work.
I was on my lunch break.
Sure you were.
Mostly.
Sure.
Like 75% of the final boss I was doing was on my lunch break. The rest don't worry about it. So
isn't it awesome when you get paid to play video games?
I wouldn't know. God damn you.
Alright, so he goes through this cycle of attacks where, you know, like the floor will collapse and like he'll shoot a beam of light at you and you have to like go into the collapsed part of the floor to dodge and then come back up. And anyway, then he also does this one where bullets come at you at all sides and you have to use your boxes to get above the bullets. Then like there'll be these spouts of light that pop up from the ground. You have to stand in between the spouts, and then light balls of rain will fall from the sky. Then you just, it's randomized, the pattern that he'll go into.
Can you use your boxes as cover?
No.
That's shit.
It is. It is shit. So then once he cycles through about five to seven of these randomly, then he will do this thing where he'll expose his weak point. But when he exposes his weak point, he also makes you levitate in the air and draws you toward him. And you have this, you press the Y button, and what it does is it shoots a box out in front of you very quickly. It's your attack in the game. And you don't know that this is him exposing his weak point, and he kills you very quickly. So you have a second or two when he starts levitating you and drawing you in toward him like a tractor beam to shoot your box at him and do a hit of damage before he just kills you. And if you shoot your box too late, you'll just keep on getting drawn in, he'll kill you. So you got to do this immediately. And when you die, you get sent back to the beginning. Not to the beginning of the fight, but to the beginning of that stage. And at the beginning of that stage, there's about a 15-second run straight forward. No obstacles in the way, just a straight run to an elevator and take the elevator down to the boss fight. Don't know why it just doesn't start at the beginning of the boss fight, but it doesn't. It makes you do this run every goddamn time.
So did they do the smart platforming thing and then teach you the little snippets of the thing that you're going to have to execute to do it? Or is this just all just like throwing it out of nowhere at you?
No, it throws it out of nowhere at you.
Great design.
Yeah, it's great. What was the next thing? Okay, so... Oh, also, when he's doing the series of attacks that he cycles through, you're completely at the mercy of the RNG where things are going to fall. So he might do an attack where beams of light are coming from you at the sides. You have to use your boxes to get up above them before they close in on you. But then balls of light will start falling like rain from the sky, possibly right on top of the box you're standing on, which you can't jump off of because you have the light beams coming to the side. You can't spawn another box, so it takes all four boxes to get high enough to avoid the ones coming from the side. In which case, you die and have to start over at the beginning. Okay, so...
Dear God.
So next up is once you get through two cycles and do two hits of damage, the cycles will start changing up, and it will not warn you. So when he does this thing where he shoots beams at you from the side and you have to duck into parts of the collapsed floor, he only does it twice. First time, you have to duck into the collapsed floor. Second time, you just have to jump out. And he shoots into the collapsed area, and you're done. After you've hit him twice, he'll do it a third time. And you won't know that until you've already jumped out, he shoots you again, and you're dead, and you have to start the fight over from the beginning. Now, when you hit him the fourth time, you probably would have guessed, yes, he's going to shoot the light at you four times. So, it makes for a lot of trial and error, because... You just, like, you have no way of knowing that these are the things he's going to be doing. And I already mentioned, like, I got in my notes here that you have to start at the beginning of the stage. You have to do that run thing at the beginning. Like, it is a very poorly designed boss. It's meant to frustrate you rather than test your platforming skills. I hear that they are planning a patch to change the boss completely, which is good. They should change this boss completely. The game is okay outside this boss fight, but I can't recommend this game in its current state. Like, this boss fight is fucked up and unfair and mean-spirited, and you only get a checkpoint. You don't even get a halfway checkpoint through this boss fight.
Yeah.
And the game itself isn't fun enough to justify putting up with this bullshit.
Well, we're actually watching a little bit of the gameplay here, and I think maybe what it's getting thought it was going to get by on is that it looks very attractive.
It does look really nice.
It does have some nice animated scenes in between levels, mm-hmm. which, if you're interested in the story at all, are nice to look at.
But
I skipped
you
them.
You hate story.
I do, and again, I skipped those really nice-looking animated cutscenes.
Yeah.
I'm glad they went through the effort of making those. I didn't watch them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know...
There's an owl with a mustache?
Sure is, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's really all all I had to say about this game. Like, the...
Yeah.
God, what a train wreck this final boss turned out to be. 25% of my gameplay was just on this one boss.
This doesn't look too tough. This doesn't look too brutal.
Which one?
Again, he said a lot of this is driven by RNG. He may have just gotten brains.
Yeah, you're watching...
Like his Contra 3.
You're probably watching someone who's played it before and knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And it is kind of funny how tiny you are. You're literally the size of a pixel.
Yeah, you're itty-bitty.
Yep, sure are. Mm. Anyway, so... You guys got anything else you want to bring up here?
I mean, we can talk sports if you're about sports.
Do you want to maybe want to do an After Dark? You want to post as an After Dark?
Totally, yeah.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Well, why don't we close out this mini show if we're done with video games, and then...
I've been playing Skyrim. I forgot to... No.
Well, do we want to mix into that extra show? Maybe we could talk about Quiet Place? Because you've seen it.
Sure.
Seen
oh,
it.
Totally.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we could talk about Quiet Place.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So next video game show is going to be the Nintendo 64. War Gods yet. I'm gonna bank War Gods for June because there's not a big.
Do you have a cartridge of this or is it a mod?
Yeah, I can bring it over.
Yeah, I'd like to see this game.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, it's pretty fun, so
cool.
We can talk about it then.
But, so we'll do a deep dive into Hexen and then close the month out with the official show.
Sounds good.
Till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.